Seculo a shocking new warning on Iran.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And there is a shocking new report from the Biden administration to members of Congress. They held a classified briefing with senators, a bipartisan group of senators. And in this briefing, the lead negotiator, the special envoy on Iran and the nuclear program, Rob Malley, he was the main architect of that disastrous JCPOA, what is commonly referred to as the Iran nuclear deal, which the Trump administration rightfully removed the United States from because it was not preventing Iran. In fact, as we said long ago, it was actually putting Iran on a path to a nuclear weapon. Well, I guess we were right, because now the Biden administration has admitted to members of Congress, and again, you get Democrats upset about this and Republicans. Here's the line. They warned senators in a classified briefing Wednesday that Iran could produce enough material for a nuclear bomb in 2 months. 2 months. Not 2 years. Not 10 years. 2 months. That's the U.S. assessment. And yet, we still have our negotiators, like Rob Malley, in Vienna trying to negotiate a way back into that nuclear deal for the United States. Remember, the Biden administration earlier in the week lifted sanctions on Iran's commercial and civilian nuclear use so that countries like Russia and China could do nuclear business with Iran. I want to take your phone calls on this because here's the question for me. We've heard from Israel, the statements from their leaders, very clear from leader to leader. We will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. There is a difference between having enough nuclear material for a bomb and having a missile that can deliver the bomb. Now, again, that doesn't mean they don't have a missile that could be set up to do so. But Israel said that. Why hasn't the United States? Why has the United States not pledged and said that we will never allow, so that our allies around the world know, this radical terrorist regime to possess a nuclear weapon? I want to take your phone calls on that. What do you think? What is the purpose behind not making that statement? I mean, again, it would be if it took airstrikes, if it took sabotage, intelligence. Why are we? Why is it only Israel who is willing to make the statement that we will not allow Iran with nuclear arms? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110, because we're starting to see these reversals by the Biden administration. They don't want you to spend a lot of time on it. They don't want to make a lot of noise about it. But Than, one reversal that we've already that is happening as we speak, the Houthi rebels in Yemen are an Iranian-backed terror group. They were designated as such by the Trump administration and Secretary Pompeo, part of our team. And when Biden came in, they immediately removed that designation. Well, the Houthi rebels started firing on our allies in the UAE and in Saudi Arabia at the airport. And suddenly now, Than, they are considering putting the Houthi rebels, which is an Iranian-backed terror front group, back on the terror watch list.
Jordan, I wish this were not the case, but this is rolling out exactly as we warned it would back in 2015 during the original negotiations. One thing I would say, Jordan, one of the members on Capitol Hill said that it's sobering and shocking. It's certainly sobering, Jordan, but here's one point of disagreement I have with them. This is not shocking. This has been readily apparent from the beginning, and some of us, Jordan, have been sounding that alarm since 2015.
All right, folks, we'll take your calls. We'll get more comments. We'll get into more, too. Democrat senators who are, kind of expressing alarm bells over this. The fact that we could have a nuclear-armed Iran in a couple of months? 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We're going to take your calls on this. If you're just joining us, you didn't hear the opening of the broadcast. U.S. officials, the Biden administration, and their top envoy on trying to get back into the Iran nuclear deal, which even Senator Bob Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat, said, you know, what is the point here? Why are we even trying to get back into this deal? So they get a classified briefing. Senators come out with some of the information because they are so concerned. Because in the briefing, they're told by the Biden officials that in 2 months or so, Iran will have enough nuclear material for a nuclear weapon. They will have reached that level so whether they have the material for a nuclear weapon. Now, there's various reports on whether they have the weapon to deliver the nuclear material. So do they have the actual missile? But then, the same time this report came out, Iran goes to their state media about a new missile. This missile, it was just unveiled yesterday by Iran. And in their own words, it was to target U.S. bases in the region and Israel. That's the focus. So, I mean, when I say, why won't the U.S. come out and say, we're never going to allow this radical terrorist regime to possess a nuclear weapon? You know, we're not going to play back like we did with North Korea and these other countries. We're just going to prevent it from the beginning. And we're running out of time on that, by the way, folks. We are. But this is a radical terrorist regime. And remember, at the heart of their ideology, in their version of Shia Islam, something massive must happen to bring about the return of a 12th imam. This is part of their theology. And it's a radical part of their theology. They've radicalized that theology into thinking that's military action against the U.S. and Israel. Well, the new missile is called the Kyber Buster. Got a range of 900 miles. And I want to go to Andy Economy on this because, Andy, these words, these names, they all have significance to their audience. But also, what they would like to do is remind the world of why they named the missile the Kaibar missile.
That's a good point, Jordan. I think that historically we have to look at that. That didn't just happen accidentally that they named it the Kaibar missile. They might call it the Kaibar Buster. And if you look at history, which not the Biden administration obviously hasn't done that or read history books, talk about the Kaibar, which was a battle between Muslims and Jews that occurred at the beginning of the rise of Muslim in the year 628. And it was a bloody battle that was fought in Medina, around the outskirts of Medina, by Muhammad himself, who was involved in the battle. And the cry, the rallying cry that has been used by Muslims ever since in Lebanon in 2006, is Khyber, Khyber, beware, O Jews, that Muhammad is returning. That's what they're saying. So when they use these words, there is great symbolism involved in them, because they intend the destruction of Israel and ancillarily, but definitely the destruction of the United States. That's why they're naming their missile the Khyber missile, after this horrible battle that occurred in the 7th century.
I'm going to play Jen Psaki in a second. She was asked about it. But I want you, again, I'm reading, this is the statement from Senator Chris Murphy. He's a Democrat from Connecticut. Quote, "The assessment of where Iran's nuclear program is right now is downright scary." That's a U.S. senator. Downright scary. We have the strongest military in the world. And our senators are saying this is scary. And yet we have not made that pledge to say, you know what, we're never going to allow this to happen. It's scary, but we'll stop it. Instead, it's scary, so we're going to try and get into another nuclear deal with them. Which, by the way, remember we played earlier in the week, the IAEA hasn't even been able to replace their cameras in the sites that they were allowed to have cameras to monitor Iran's nuclear program. They haven't been back in years. So again, they've been running rampant through this nuclear program. I want to play this back and forth between a reporter and Jen Psaki at the White House.
Iran announced today that they had, or said that they have developed a missile that can strike Israel or U.S. bases in the region. I'm wondering if you have a reaction to that, and then also kind of generally wanted to check in on where you thought the progress on talks over a new nuclear deal are standing right now.
Well, in terms of where things stand, Special Envoy Malley and his interagency delegation have been in Vienna for the 8th round of talks. As we've said, and this is consistent, the report you referenced is consistent with this, our talks with Iran have reached an urgent point on mutual return to full implementation of the JCPOA, a deal that addresses the core concerns of all sides is in sight, but if it is not reached in the coming weeks, Iran's ongoing nuclear advances will make it impossible for us to return to the JCPOA.
Why would it be impossible? Because they would have the weapon. So there would be no purpose. But that is, again, what Bob Menendez, another Democrat, U.S. Senator from New Jersey, said. I think members know exactly what we don't even know what reentry into this deal means. Even Jen Psaki is saying that. Let me go to Than Bennett, because, Than, that's the whole point. They spend all this time on trying to negotiate a way back into a deal that they themselves acknowledge basically is meaningless already.
Yeah, that soundbite you play, Jordan, it's so circular. I mean, look, I remember the history on this. If you think back to the negotiations over the JCPOA and, by the way, the Iranian Nuclear Review Act, which at the time I didn't think was nearly strong enough. I agreed with Senator Cotton that this deal should be treated like a treaty, not just a common piece of legislation referred to the United States Senate. But let's go back to the terms of that original deal, Jordan. I mean, that original deal relied on self-inspection, so Iran got to inspect their own facilities. When they did let officials in, they had to give 24 hours notice so that you could clean up the site before those officials acted. There was no real enforcement, and maybe most importantly of all, Jordan, all of the so-called enforcement inside the deal, even if you believed Iran was going to abide by it, they all sunset, Jordan. I mean, we're in the phase now where all of those restrictions would have been sunsetting anyway. So look, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Senator Menendez on this, because he didn't ask the right questions at the original time, but he is asking the correct questions now. And Jordan, he wants to know what the deal is. He wants to know if it's different or if it's new or if it's the same terms. Jordan, if it's the same terms, that entire deal would be about ready to sunset anyway. So even if you thought it was worth something then, which I didn't and he did, even if you thought it was worth something, Jordan, it's worth nothing now.
Yeah, take a listen to Bob Menendez on the floor of the U.S. Senate by 15.
But at this point, we seriously have to ask, what exactly are we trying to salvage? What are we trying to salvage?
I'm going to go to Jeff, calling in New York. If you want to talk to us on air, how concerned are you about the threat of a nuclear Iran with a weapon in 2 months? 1-800-684-3110. Jeff, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, actually from North Carolina, but... my question is this leaving a no choice for Israel but to react to this, because they cannot allow them to have a nuclear weapon? They're going to use it once they get it. They've said that. So is this kind of setting the stage for that, for them to get the, if they have the intel that this is in fact happening, they have no choice but to attack. Is that correct? And then that's going to bring other countries against Israel?
Oh, it would not be a pleasant thing if Israel has to use military force to stop the nuclear weapon. It's different if they could, you know, use intel, sabotage. We've seen before viruses hit their centrifuges. Their centrifuges blew up inside their buildings because of these computer viruses. But it does get to a certain point where you might have to use military action. And the way that Iran would respond, even though these sites are not necessarily where you'd have to go into civilian areas, they're in the mountains, built into mountains. The way Iran would respond is by firing missiles at Israel and U.S. bases, and that would include Israeli civilians. And then you could see how that could escalate very quickly. And so, Andy, what I think, again, this is a country run by radicals that would use this weapon. You have to believe them because they do export terror around the world. They make good on their word of terrorism.
Jordan, you're absolutely correct. This is a country that makes good on the threats. They didn't name it, as I said earlier, the Khaibar Buster for no reason. They're recalling the great glories of Islam in the 7th century against who? Against the Jews. And now the United States, which is part of the Middle Eastern atmosphere and landscape, because we are the great allies of Israel, it means against us too. Words have meaning and significance. And here we are sitting in Vienna mediating with a regime that is terrorist and is committed to having a nuclear weapon. And what are we doing in Vienna? Sitting around the Ringstrasse and the Cafe Aida, having cafe au lait and eating croissants and having little candid discussions or not so candid discussions with our intermediaries. And as Senator Menendez said, what are we out to salvage? What are we out to do? Why don't we articulate what's happening? I think that these statements by Senator Menendez, the top Democrat in the Foreign Relations Committee, are very telling and should be very startling and sobering to the Biden administration, because this is supposed to be one of their great supporters. And he's wondering what in the world is going on.
You know, folks, I want to hear from you, because this is a direct threat, would pose a direct threat to the United States. U.S. senators wouldn't, Democrats wouldn't call out the Biden administration and say, why are you even trying to get back into this deal? Another Senate Democrat, this is scary. Scary. How do you think the U.S. should respond? We have time to respond. But why, instead of maybe negotiating the deal, as Andy said, in Vienna with their coffee and croissants, maybe we should be planning how we would handle this with military action if necessary. 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. And I did want to underscore, too, you know, at the time when the Biden administration is still trying to get back into this deal with their own members of their own party, and you wonder why his approval ratings are so low. When your own members of your own party question even your foreign policy decisions and say, you know, this is scary. I don't see a point to even why are you negotiating anymore with this country? Whether you supported that a decade ago or not, there's no point anymore. They've moved past that point. They decided Iran to kind of take themselves out of trying to come up with a negotiation. The same administration that I did it earlier on, but I just want to spend a little more time on it. It's the same administration that we're getting to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on how you believe the U.S. should respond. You know, if we have 2 months before they've got a nuclear weapon, what could we do? What would you be okay with limited military action? You know, because you would think there's this narrowing window of time. And instead of maybe sending troops to Poland because of an invasion of Ukraine, maybe we should be worried a little bit more about Iran with a nuclear weapon. And, you know, 2 months away from that.
I'd start by vocally making it clear to the rest of the world that we stand with our ally in the region, Israel, and that we recognize they have a vested interest in making sure that the Iranians never achieve a nuclear weapon. And look, I think you can go down all of the issues we've talked about today, the original Iran deal, the situation surrounding the Houthi rebels, even the Iranian Nuclear Review Act. Jordan, whether or not you think the administration or any given senator was right or wrong on the original issue the first time they came around, we have a new set of facts. And you know, unfortunately for the world, it's playing out as we thought it would play out. Iran is continuing to saber rattle. They're continuing to develop their nuclear capacity. They sure seem like they're on the brink of being able to deliver a nuclear weapon to a target. You have to address those new facts as they exist today, not how you wish they would exist. So when I go down the senator's quotes that you've read from people like Bob Menendez, who's the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, Ben Cardin, who did oppose the original deal, Jordan, and also Chris Murphy, these are people who now look at the facts on the ground, see an imminent threat to the United States and our allies, and are at least making the right action. One other point I'd like to make, Jordan, on the Iran Nuclear Review Act, look, while I may have not have liked that original deal, and I did not think it treated it like a treaty like we should, Jordan, you have to at least get what that legislation requires, and that is senatorial review of a new deal. So if we are going to re-enter a deal, whether it looks like the old one or a new one, the Senate has to take another look at it. And look, maybe it's only a simple majority, but if you've got members of the Democrat Party expressing this type of concern, I'm not sure it could clear the Senate.
I mean, think about that. That it would not clear necessarily the Senate to even get back into the deal because they are saying, let me play Bob Menendez and we're going to go to your phones. Bite three.
Today, I call on the Biden administration and the international community to vigorously and rigorously enforce sanctions, which have proven to be among the most potent tools for impacting Iran's leaders and the IRGC. We cannot allow Iran to threaten us into a bad deal or an interim agreement that allows it to continue to build its nuclear capacity. Nor should we cling to the scope of an agreement that it seems some are holding on for nostalgia's sake. As I said 7 years ago, hope is not a national security strategy.
That is a Democrat U.S. Senator, Bob Menendez, calling out the Biden administration, saying hope is not a strategy. They are claiming for nostalgia because these same people were in the Obama administration and they want their deal so that their European friends think they're cool and they've done all this. I want to go to Bill's call in Wyoming on line one. But just think about that for a second, folks. I mean, these are Democrats saying, you know, and like Thad said, they might not even get that reverse crazy deal that they came up with, which we oppose, on this Iran nuclear deal. They might not have enough Democrats to even get that done if they got Iran into a deal, which would be a waste of time anyways. They should be thinking about how are we going to prevent Iran from getting the nuclear material into a missile that's deliverable. That's the real question. Hey, Bill, calling from Wyoming on line one. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm very nervous about this. I see no leadership in the dealings with this because how many times that they've got together, made speeches or talks, and without being too descriptive, I'm picturing Iran leading us around wherever they want us to go. Am I right? Or
that's how it feels, Andy. It's we're begging Iran to even come back to the negotiating table in Vienna. And while we're doing that, we're giving them sanctions relief on their quote-unquote commercial civilian nuclear program, so they're allowed to do business with nuclear material.
Well, Jordan, there's no doubt in my mind that these so-called negotiations in Vienna are a hoax and a charade. Look, Iran is in the driver's seat. We are there as supplicants. We are there as beggars trying to revive, as Senator Menendez said, a deal because of nostalgia's sake. Biden is thinking back when he was vice president in the good old days with Obama when we had this JCPOA. Let's go back to these halcyon days of the past. But the Iranians are laughing at us because we are not negotiators. We are supplicants and begging them to come to the table to be with us and to work things out. And we're not even doing it face to face. We're doing it through European intermediaries so that you can't actually negotiate with your opponent. So this is a terrible deal, and it's a terrible situation to put the United States in. I really feel that the defection, and I think it is a defection, by major Democrats calling it shocking and sobering, should awaken the Biden administration to what is going on in Vienna and walk away. I don't think that, as Senator Cardin said, a bad deal is worse than no deal. No, Senator Cardin, I disagree with you totally. A bad deal is not good, better than a worse deal. A bad deal is a bad deal no matter what.
We go to Phil in New York on line 5. Hey, Phil, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I think at this point, if you want to get a meaningful answer, you have to ask the right question. And the right question at this point is not, will Iran get an enormous sum of money or nuclear weapons? The right question is, will they get an enormous sum of money and nuclear weapons?
Well, I mean, you're right. The question is, with this administration is, what would they be willing to give them to think that Iran won't take that nuclear material? I mean, Than, I guess that would be their view at this point, is that they have the nuclear material. Maybe we can pay them off not to build the missile to launch it.
Jordan, why would they not think that? It's what they got last time. They got the ability to continue to enrich, and they got pallets full of cash. I think they can get the same thing because they have the same negotiator sitting in front of them. And as far as the capacity goes, whether or not they get the cash, Jordan, I mean, if the Biden administration officials themselves are saying that Iran is within a couple of months of having the capacity for a nuclear bomb, well, you know, I've got news for you. Within a couple of months, that means Iran is a nuclear power. I mean, that is real time, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. The phone lines are busy, but we're going to get to those right away. Second half hour, we're going to stay on this topic. We'll get people up to speed. If they're just joining us, then we'll get right back to the phone. So if you want to talk to us in there, there's still one line open, 1-800-684-3110. With the Biden administration telling U.S. senators Iran's 2 months away from having the nuclear material for a bomb, why isn't the U.S. join up with Israel and saying, whatever you do, we're never going to allow you to be able to have that a deliverable nuclear weapon. We'll do whatever it takes to prevent it. And we should have the technology and the weaponry to do that without even putting our troops in too much harm's way. But yet we're not making that pledge to the world. So what should, would you agree with a pledge like that? 1-800-684-3110. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. We'll be right back on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So if you're just joining us, let me just set this up for you. We got a lot of phone calls to take. We're talking about Iran. And the reason why is the Biden administration briefed lawmakers, classified briefing, but lawmakers came out pretty nervous, pretty scared. That was actually the word of one Democrat, U.S. Senator Chris Murphy. So it's not like a partisan thing about this briefing. The briefing was done by Rob Malley. He's the lead negotiator for the U.S. trying to get back into the Iran nuclear deal, and he was the architect of that original 2 pages of bullet points. Senator Chris Murphy said the assessment of where Iran's nuclear program is, quote, downright scary. These U.S. senators were told that Iran could produce enough nuclear material for a nuclear bomb in as little as 2 months. As little as 2 months. This comes right after we lifted sanctions on their civilian, quote unquote, nuclear program. We lifted sanctions on Iran's civilian nuclear program. I want to get your phone calls at 1-800-684-3010, but we keep saying over and over, what do they think they could do with Iran? They think they could basically, Iran will get the material, but then they could pay them off to not then building the missile that delivers that material. Then take a listen to Iran's foreign minister. It's translated because it's exactly what Iran hopes. They would love a few more billion dollars cash on pallets so they could continue their program. And that's what they expect. That's giving money to terrorists, by the way, which is not really a U.S. policy. Byte 5.
Americans must show their goodwill in action. In our view, this means tangible things happening on the ground. Lifting part of the sanctions in a real and objective manner could be interpreted as the goodwill the Americans talk about. What happens on paper is good, but it's not enough.
They want more cash, Harry. I mean, that's the Iranians. You can lift the sanctions on their civilian. I mean, the fact that even if you were the Biden administration and you thought some sanctions relief would be good for Iran, the fact that the sanctions relief they've provided so far have been connected to their nuclear program, while at the same time they're briefing senators that they're 2 months away from having enough nuclear material for a weapon, to me, it just shows where Iran knows they've got them right in the corner they want them.
Absolutely. The Biden administration has cornered itself, and the Iranians rightly believe that $29 billion in sanctions relief is not enough. And so the Iranians, I believe, they are intent on pressing their advantage. And that is because the Biden administration has a well-earned reputation for capitulation, surrender, fecklessness, and spinelessness. And this is encapsulated by what? The disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan, the failure of the Biden administration to secure the United States border, while the Biden administration is now claiming it is prepared to protect the Ukrainian border.
You know, folks, we're going to take your phone calls as we come back. Let me see if I got time to take one call. Let me go to Mary Ellen in Illinois online, too. Hey, Mary Ellen, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hello, all of you. Three quick points. I think when the Iranians hear this, they're laughing. Second, I'm wondering who's up for re-election now on the Democrat side. And third, as was mentioned earlier about this being a theocracy, it's like the flaw of the original agreement was they don't really read the Quran. They don't really understand these people and their
And their radical interpretation of Islam, which makes them stand alone even amongst other Muslims, because it's all about war, bringing about, you know, that's how you have to take active war. It's not about protecting yourself or defense. It's about actively engaging. Remember, terrorism around the world, they're the number one state sponsor of terrorist groups around the world. And what they have done, if they can get U.S. senators, and I mean, I take them at their own word, actually. If U.S. senators walk out of a briefing saying they're scared, then Iran's got you exactly where they want you. You start throwing money at the problem because they're not really willing to take the action to stop the problem.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Calls to 1-800-684-3110. How should the U.S. respond? What would you support in response? So take the Biden intel briefing to these senators at its word that Iran's only 2 months away from having enough nuclear material and weaponized nuclear material for a nuclear bomb. So the next step for them is that the U.S. doesn't believe they have the missile to deliver it. But, you know, are we 100% sure of that? I don't know. To be honest, I mean, you know, that would be deeper intel, and I'm not sure how great the intel is on this program anyways. But, you know, again, we've heard Israel pledge to say we'll not allow them to have the weapon, so it's not a deliverable nuclear weapon. The U.S., while there's members of Congress and, of course, individuals who have said that, that's not been part of the Biden administration. Is it time now for the U.S. to declare to the world that if Iran takes further steps, instead of providing them sanctions relief and cash, they're going to be rained down by missiles? Now, you don't have to. Hopefully, you never have to do that. But is that what the message needs to be to the world? Is we, like Israel, make the pledge to our own citizens and the world, we're not going to allow this radical Shia Islamic regime and the number one state sponsor of terror to have a deliverable nuclear weapon. And we know we're running out of time, so we're now going to make that pledge to the world. So the world and everybody, including the U.S. citizens and our military, gets prepared. Because once they have it, then we're in a totally different situation. We're talking about 2 months here. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Rich in North Carolina on line 3. Hey, Rich, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of things. I think there's a lot of people that are concerned about this. They're just not vocal about it. Number two, I thought that there was an international treaty to stop the proliferation of weapons, nuclear weapons. Is that true? I thought that the UN put something in place, and now we see these countries starting to desire nuclear weapons. You know, if every country had nuclear weapons, it's just going to lead to mutual destruction. So I think something has to be done to prevent it. From a historical standpoint, I just want to make a point here. In World War I, the pistol that killed Ferdinand and his wife came from a Russian agent. And my point being is that there's agents out there that are helping Iran do this because for whatever reasons it is. They want to destabilize the area, you know, selfish reasons, whatever. But I think something has to be done, whether it's sanctions again or a military blockade. To drive home the fact that we can't have this continue. because more and more countries are going to want to have weapon, nuclear weapons, maybe Turkey, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason why, you got the Treaty on Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. Iran signed it, but remember when it signed initially, it wasn't the Islamic Republic of Iran. Then they had a revolution. They haven't technically left the treaty. But again, those are treaties that are agreements. That's why they have sanctions. I mean, that's the reason why the world is allowed to go kind of as strong as they want on sanctions. But as we talk with Rick Grenell a lot about, you've got to get the international, these countries to go on board with sanctions. So while we can unilaterally do a lot as the United States, to make those treaties effective, you've got to be willing to put massive, massive sanctions in place. I think that where we need to kind of divide this up into two things too, is that the difference, I think, Rich, even between the mutual destruction theory and Andy, I think this is the difference between Iran and some of these other countries like India and Pakistan, which is not really it's not really a threat to anybody else. It's a threat to each other. And it is that kind of mutually assured destruction. Iran is not thinking that way. It's not even a defensive measure. This would be for offense. They are the number one exporter of terrorism.
I think we need to recognize that and finally come out and say that and recognize that when we're talking in Vienna. This is the idea of the Iranians is offensive. It is not defensive in nature. As you pointed out correctly, between Pakistan and India, this is a grievance that goes back for generations between the Hindus and the Muslims in Pakistan and India, respectively, and so forth. But they're not exporting terrorism throughout the world as the Iranians are doing. And I come back to what we said earlier in the program. The missile that has been now devised that can move 900 miles or 1,450 kilometers by the Iranians is called the Khyber Buster. And you've got to look at history books and understand that the purpose of that is to destroy American bases, but primarily Jewish sites in the Middle East, because that was their great claim to fame, was the Battle of Khyber in 628 in the 7th century, where Muhammad, leading the forces, said, "Beware, O Jews, Muhammad has returned." And that's exactly what is happening today. Why doesn't somebody pick up a history book, or if you can't do that, at least go to Wikipedia, Biden negotiators, and see what they're up to so that you know who your adversary is? You don't know who your adversary is.
Let me go to Art in Florida on line one. Hey, Art, welcome to Secular. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call. That's 1-800-684-3110. Hey, Art.
Thank you for taking my call. Okay, so how many generations do we have to continue to put up with this nonsense, with this extreme regime in Iran? So to your question, what can the United States do? I think, first of all, reinstitute Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, the legitimate president of our country, his policies that were bringing Iran to its knees economically, where he almost had a deal had it not been for this coup that took place in 2020. Secondly, make sure, and I think the military already is doing this, provide Israel with Moab bombs, give them whatever military equipment they need to take out the nuclear facilities.
Yeah, but I want to jump in here and say this, Art, because I think you brought up a good point, and I want to stick to it, is while I agree with everything, you know, provide Israel what they need, I think we should be leading this. Not a country of 7 million people, but you know, and rely on them to do this, whether we were, you know, backing it or not. We should take the lead. And Harry, Art talked about the economic sanctions. If you look at during the Trump years, and again, staying out of the politics of it, but for those 4 years, Iran was economically right on the edge of a full-on disaster internally. We've just never quite pushed that enough, I think. That's my view. We've never joined up when those protesters take to the streets because they can't afford bread, they can't afford food, they're sick of the repression. We just haven't backed them. But you can bring Iran to its knees. We've seen that before.
I think you're precisely correct. And so I think Art is correct in this particular point. What is most lacking is leadership. And if you go back to the Trump administration, the Iranian currency was collapsing. The value of its oil was declining, and the United States had energy independence. So when President Trump spoke, he had a strong platform on which to provide leadership to the entire world. And so now we have a situation where Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror, and Wendy Sherman seems more intent on ensuring that Americans and Israelis eat crepes while she sips cappuccino, while the Middle East potentially burns. And so I think it's a sad statement, but it's an accurate one with respect to what the Biden administration is all about. They are about cravenness and putting global elites first as opposed to Americans.
Again, a new poll just came out. I want to go to Than Bennett on this because, Than, this ties into even if they got to the Iran, you know, back into the deal, they have to have this backwards kind of Senate support. New CNN poll, Biden disapproval at 58%, and most respondents saying they don't like anything he has done since becoming president. So when you're at that point, you could even get to this point of having the deal, and again, we see Democrat senators already coming out and opposing it.
Those are staggering numbers, Jordan. They really are. And look, I don't think there's any accident. I actually think they support the fact that Democrats are coming out opposed to the deal. I would make 2 points. One, the last caller talked about how much stronger of a position Israel was in because of President Trump. Look, they're in a stronger position today because of the Abraham Accords, Jordan. I mean, that's a good thing that they have more support in the region security-wise. But the United Nations, whether it's a non-proliferation treaty or anything else, is never going to lead the world on this. It's always going to have to be the United States. But to your point about the United States Senate, Jordan, we've said this time and time again on this broadcast. The administration, the chief executive, has the most authority when it comes to matters of foreign affairs. But when you're in a situation like this where his poll numbers are as upside down as they are, you know what it's going to take to get action, Jordan? It's going to take other elected officials from inside his party, see, Democrat senators, to force his hand on this. So they should force his hand to take a stronger tone. And Jordan, they also ought to take the same tone that 33 Republicans are taking and telling the president, if you're going to get back into a deal, you better send it to the United States Senate for review. And Jordan, I would say Chairman Menendez, he ought to tell the president today, Jordan, I won't vote for it.
Folks, you've got time to be part of the broadcast today. We got another segment coming up. You got to get your phone calls in now. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110. If you call right now, you still have time to be on the air, but you got to call now. 1-800-684-3110. You know, I want to go to Cheryl's call in Michigan online too. Cheryl, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, if Iran is 2 months away from having a weapon, what makes us think they don't already have it?
Well, I agree with you, because it was intelligence officers who were informing the Biden team. Now, there were some that were saying, I don't know if this is right. Remember, there were some saying, we don't believe the intel. But the majority view, or the view that the Biden team took in Afghanistan, Andy, was that they had, 3 months at a minimum, 90 days or so before Kabul fell to the Taliban, and it was a couple of days.
Yeah, that's the American intelligence that the Biden administration is relying on. Good luck. Instead of months, it was 10 minutes to get the Americans out of Afghanistan in a disastrous situation. But to what the caller said, I'm in complete agreement. If we're relying on that intelligence to say that it's 2 months, I think that may very well be faulty. They may have it in less than 2 months. Indeed, they may have that capability, Jordan, right now, and are concealing it from us. That would not be beyond the Iranians to do.
No, I mean, Thayer, we saw that the IAEA, we played it earlier in the week, and he just said, they're not in a good spot, but our cameras never got replaced. So we needed to replace cameras on the few places that part of the deal where they were allowed to continue watch over Iran's nuclear program. And that wasn't everywhere, including where they do their military nuclear work. But they couldn't even replace the camera. So you have to, and this is, we're playing around with nuclear weapons here.
Yeah, I mean, we know they've been hiding their capacity from the very beginning, Jordan. So we know with certainty they're hiding their capacity now. Now, look, our intelligence is going to do the best job they can getting the information. And if the intelligence now says that they might be able to produce enough material for a nuclear bomb in a couple of months, but they don't think they have the delivery capacity, well, I hope that's correct, I guess, Jordan. But, I mean, that's kind of why earlier in the broadcast I said, I mean, that feels like the here and now. I mean, 2 months is just a few weeks away. I think that is current capacity to produce enough material for a nuclear bomb. The other thing I would say, Jordan, is when you're talking about nuclear weapons, you have to assume the worst case scenario. You can hope that you're wrong. You can hope that maybe it's a little bit better than you think. But if you're looking at a range of options and you think we think they're somewhere on this spectrum from best case scenario to worst case scenario, you sure better be planning for that worst case scenario.
This is the IAEA Director General. And he gets asked the question. Just take a listen.
Do you think Iran could make a nuclear weapon in less than a month?
We don't have any information in this direction. So I wouldn't like to get into language that may be construed as something like that. What we say is that the amounts of material are growing, that this is material at very high level. And of course, this is something that has to be looked at with a lot of care.
So to all those points, Harry, they don't know either. They just know that it's a very high level, but they don't have any more information past that.
I think that's correct, although there's a secondary implication of what he said, which is they in fact do know, but they don't want to inform the world that they are aware of Iran's capabilities. And so I would err on the side of what Than has suggested, that we should indeed assume the worst, and we should be prepared to take action now. We should not wait for the DOD or the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff to give us an updated assessment like they gave us with respect to Afghanistan. And so I think at the end of the day, we should put American interests first, but I believe that the Biden administration is absolutely incapable of doing so. And so I hope the American people can bring pressure to bear on Democratic senators who are beginning at least to see the light.
Yeah, AJ on Facebook wrote it, I would argue some type of deal is needed if you want to monitor Iran's nuclear development. No deal means you're totally blind as to what they're up to. But this thing they're trying to push is not the solution. I think the problem with all of these deals, Andy, was that even when you go back to the original deal, and I will tell you, if you do a rewind to that, I was talking to our DC team about this, the difference between where we are diplomatically in the world since when that deal was signed. I remember going to the embassy of China, meeting with their diplomats in DC, and the embassy of Russia at the time on this very issue, because we were part of a coalition group opposing the deal. And they were, while they wanted to get into a deal, both of those countries were firmly against a nuclear Iran and a nuclear weaponized Iran. The world has changed since I was in those meetings, Andy. And while I think it would be great if you could have full monitoring of their program, they've never allowed that.
No, and they never will, Jordan. No matter what comes out of Vienna, and I don't think anything is going to come out of Vienna except cappuccinos, as my colleague Harry Hutchison says. That's the only thing that's going to come out of those talks. But you're never going to be able to trust the Iranians, and it is naive. It is naive to believe that they're going to tell you what they have, when they have, or to let you see anything. It's just not going to happen, and we have to realize that and come to the table with an understanding that the Iranians are liars, they're cheaters, they're thieves. They are bent on destruction of Israel and on the United States, and that is what you have to go into your negotiations with the knowledge of. This is not an honorable regime.
Thad, I want to kind of sum it up, though, for people, is because we keep talking about they're at the deal, and senators are reminding them. We actually have a letter from 33 U.S. senators, good friends of ours, leading this, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Bill Hagerty, and 31 of their colleagues in the U.S. Senate, reminding them that just because, even if Iran said, okay, you can get back in, we've got to go through that kind of complicated approval that we did not like at the ACLJ, but Congress does still have a role. That's what I want to remind people, that they actually can't just unilaterally do this.
Yeah, we always try to boil things back to action, Jordan. This is the action point on this one. The one thing that that Iran Nuclear Review Act did get was a period that if an administration, this administration or any future one, comes to a deal like this, they have to submit it to the United States Senate within 5 days for their opportunity to grant disapproval of it. Now, I think that's backwards, Jordan, but that at least has to happen in this case. And so here's the action point I would give. We have given a lot of credit to Senate Democrats during the course of this broadcast for expressing their concern, for rightly criticizing where we stand on this deal, for outlining the dangers that would happen if we re-entered it. Jordan, those senators today need to make the same ask that these 33 Republican senators do. Jordan, they can stop this. They can tell the president that they respectfully disagree with AJ on Facebook, that they think there is no deal to be had with an entity that wants to wipe you and your allies off the map. They should tell the president, you must send this to us. And by the way, when you send it to us, we're going to vote against it. You don't have the votes to get it through the United States Senate.
Yes, there is action here as well. I mean, there's two kinds of action. There's action to prevent going back into a stupid deal. And then second, I think we have to prepare, you know, how will the U.S. respond? What will we pledge to the world? Will we pledge to stop a nuclear-armed Iran, as Israel has pledged to its citizens? Will we pledge to do that as well? So there's kind of two-pronged action items here. Support the work that we do. We don't just talk about these issues at the ACLJ. Support us financially at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.